La 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 la. Hi Sanjay, and hi guys, welcome back to Unwrapped. You know, yesterday was Mother's Day, and I actually am not like a huge Mother's Day person. Like, it doesn't make me feel any more or less of a mother, to be honest. But it's always nice to be thought of and honored. And it's funny, so when I was talking to Sanjay earlier, we were talking about Mother's Day, and she threw out there, like, you know, it's been a year because we launched Unwrapped on Mother's Day last year.
Wasn't that amazing? That was like, it was so crazy because I was thinking back and I'm like, wow, yeah, like our first official podcast was at, I don't even remember the restaurant anymore, right? Because it closed down.
It did close.
Yeah, and it reopened as something else. But, yeah, we, you know, that was such a great, because we had a lot of women entrepreneurs there. We had Dia Sims, who is the president of Bad Boy. And Sean Combe Enterprises. So, I mean, it was really...
It was nice.
Yeah.
It was a really good networking event.
Yeah, it was a really good networking event. And she said some really key, powerful things during the podcast. I mean, because she's a mother and having to balance, you know, having, you know, because Diddy's not easy at all. And running his...
Really?
And running his companies is not an easy task. And then she also has a beautiful little girl and a husband where she has to find that balance.
Yeah, I remember specifically one of the questions asked, and I think it was by me actually, was how do you manage to run this multi-million dollar company in addition to being a wife, in addition to also being a mother? And one of the key points that she stated was that she has to prioritize her time. She said, you know, when she's working, that's her time for work and nothing else comes in between that. It's work. When it's her daughter's ballet recital or meeting at school, that's what it is. She doesn't tune into emails or answer her phone. You know, the time is all about her daughter. And then the same thing at home with her husband, you know, at night or whenever it is that everything is shut down, she gives him all of her time. And she was explaining that she does that because she finds that when she multitasks, nothing really gets 100% of her time. She's dividing herself up between all of these different areas of life, and they're only getting 10%, 20%, whatever it is that she can give at the time, but she's not giving her all to that particular thing. And I guess in the grand scheme of things, that's not really fair to your family or to your job. So I've taken that advice to heart, and I have tried to really divide up my time so that everything gets a certain part of me and it gets equal amounts of energy. However, I will admit that it's a really hard thing to do. It is really hard to shut down and focus on one thing, because I think in life we become very used to multitasking. You know, we're all over the place. I like to call it like the ADHD complex. Because I mean, you're on your laptop, then you're on your phone, and you're on social media, and then you're talking to your child, and then you're walking the dog, and whatever it is, you're cooking dinner. But at the end of the day, something usually gets messed up in the process of doing that. People ask me all the time, like, you know, how do you manage it? And my
your husband
to them,
doesn't seem like an easy person to manage. And you have three beautiful kids. And even though you have a nanny, it's still, you know, you're still a young mom. And having to balance that, you know, do the things that you want to do that gives, that kind of makes you fulfilled. And what are those things? Like, what do you find, where do you as a mom, right? Because I've seen a lot of my friends kind of get burnt out. I've seen a lot of moms when they have a kid, they kind of let themselves completely go, you know, but you still maintain to keep yourself looking good, you know, working out, making sure that you're not kind of falling behind and looking like grandma.
You know, I will not say that it's easy, not at all. It actually is extremely hard. And It took me a while to even get to the point where I am, but I still haven't fully accomplished it. Full transparency, just last week, I was like having a full breakdown because I was like, oh my gosh, there's so many things on my plate and I can't figure out how to balance them. On top of the kids all have a different need going on right now. Mm-hmm. And one thing that somebody said to me was, I bet you that if you actually write down all the things that you think you have to do, it's not as many as you really think. Mm-hmm. So I did that. I wrote down a list of everything, and come to find out it was like two things for each category, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I was able to knock it out. But sometimes you have to do that. You have to be able to physically see mm-hmm. what those tasks are and prioritize them. I put a lot of things in my calendar, and I was like, try to schedule things on certain days. So if the kids have doctor's appointments or physicals, I try to make them on like Thursdays, because I know Thursdays that'll be my day that I dedicate to whatever it is they have going on. Mm-hmm. I try to do most of my work. I do work from home, but most of my work I try to do during the middle of the day, right? Mm-hmm. I try to schedule all my workouts for the beginning of the day, but that's kind of how I process it. I try to do everything during certain times of the day, and I try to schedule an hour for myself every day to read, just catch up to what's going on in society. Because if you don't, then you realize one day you wake up and you're like, whoa, I don't know what's going on. Like, you don't mm-hmm. know what's going on with the president or the country or mm-hmm. any of that. So sometimes I have to slow down and remind myself, okay, tune into everything else that's going mm-hmm. on outside of like this house.
Mm-hmm. No, I said, like, as I said, I have a hectic work schedule. So I'm just like, imagine if I had a child, you know, to mm-hmm. kind of, and especially when people are single moms, you yeah. know, and they may not have the support system mm-hmm. that other people do have. It's just like, you know, what are some advice? You said you take a day. You said you take an hour.
I take an hour out of each day.
Mm-hmm. to just sit with yourself.
Mm-hmm. I'll do mindfulness.
Okay.
For those of you that don't know what mindfulness is, it's almost like meditation, but not as extreme. Because the idea of meditation kind of freaks me out. Like, just sitting there and trying to clear my mind, I can't really do it. Mm-hmm. But what I will do is just sit and do nothing. And I'll just let my mind think about whatever it wants to think about. If it's thinking about the kids, or if it's thinking about whatever it is, but I'm not physically moving. I'm just letting my mind do its thing. Mm-hmm. I also like to like read. So I'm like a self-help junkie, and I go to Barnes & Noble and buy like 5 books, and then I'll pick one book at a time and I'll kind of go through them, but it takes me forever because I'm only doing it for an hour a day. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I also pray during mm-hmm. that hour. So, and I like to write my prayers down. Mm-hmm. So I'll do that during my hour. And the next thing you know, a whole hour has passed and then life goes on and it's time to go back to the hustle and bustle. So whatever your thing is, whatever you're into, whatever makes you feel calm, that's my suggestion, to take time throughout your day to do that. And I do realize that's hard, but we make time to go to the grocery store. We make time to do whatever it is. So just make that time for yourself.
Mm-hmm. So how did you come to that? Like, how how did you know that was your thing? You know what I mean? Like, because your first child was how old?
When I had my first child, I was 23. No, I got pregnant at 23. I had him at 24.
At 24, mm-hmm. right? And that's really mm-hmm. young, like right out of college. And mm-hmm. then it's like, boom. So was that something that you established the first? No.
No, okay. No way. When I had Carson, I didn't know a thing. I remember sitting and reading a book about how to give babies baths. Like, mm-hmm. I literally didn't know anything. And I was working a full-time job back then, so I was hustling, bustling, and doing everything, right? And at the time, Chris was in grad school, and he was also building the company. So he was not able to be as hands-on as I would have needed. I would say by the time he was maybe 5, and he's only 8, so that was only a few years ago, I looked at one day and realized, okay, I weigh 90 pounds. It may have been like 95 because I was forgetting to eat. My hair started falling out, and I realized, oh, my nutrition, you know, wasn't good, so my hair, and I was stressed. And I just had to stop and slow down and realize that it wasn't working. It wasn't healthy. The way I was going about things wasn't good. And I started seeing the implications of it in my son. I could see him becoming anxious. I could see him moving fast all the time. I could see signs of the way I was behaving in my 5-year-old. And I had to take a step back and realize that not only was it not healthy for me, but it wasn't healthy for a child to witness. You know, like they need some sense of normalcy and calmness. And mm-hmm. I wasn't giving that to him. There's this scene in Sex and the City 2. Mm-hmm. And I know it's really cliche, but most women love Sex and the City. And they're sitting at the bar and it's Miranda and Charlotte. Mm-hmm. And they're drinking and they're talking about being a mom. And Charlotte says, you know, how do the moms without help do it? Mm-hmm. I don't get it. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly how I feel. I have a full-time nanny. I have not always, mm-hmm. but I do now. And even now, I'm still overwhelmed. How do the moms without it do it? I have no clue. But I can say, like, you have to be saints. I don't know how they manage. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Mm-hmm.
So you kind of developed this, like, your second child, you would say, or...
I noticed it and started working on the problem mm-hmm. with my first child. Mm-hmm. By the time I had Christian, my second child, I had a little bit more time because I wasn't working full time and I was able to sit back and think about what I needed. Mm-hmm. But what really helped me, quite honestly, was Chris and I go to marriage counseling. Mm-hmm. But in addition to the marriage counseling, she sees us one-on-one. Mm-hmm. And in one of my one-on-one sessions, she said to me, you know, you're a pretty anxious person. You got to work on that and calming it down. And she suggested me figuring out what my happy place was.
Okay.
And in that, I kind of figured out what I was going to do in that hour of power of my day. But also, Dia really helped. I mean, listening to somebody that actually does it and has a way more intense schedule than I do, mm-hmm. it was helpful hearing someone else say, it's not easy, but this is what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, because like, I said, I don't have children, but my friends... I have two young kids under the age of 6.
That's hard.
You know, and she has, mm-hmm. she runs her own company, you know, making a lot of, making good money. And, you know, her husband comes and goes. And so how much does your husband play a role in being taking that stress off of you? You know what I mean? Because I know with her husband, they have a nanny as well. And it was full time. I think the nanny was full time before the youngest was, you know, able to walk and talk, you know. And okay. then I think they kind of eased off the nanny after the child turned 2. But, you know, it's still a lot for her, and I've seen, you know, she's like trying to balance and still be sexy and still be, you know, in the know and not looking yeah. frumpy. But you know, her husband travels a lot, you know, so that's also a lot of stress. But your husband doesn't travel as much, but I know he has a lot of other things going on.
His role varies. It depends on his schedule, which changes all the time. There are periods where he's very hands-on and there are periods where he's not. In those moments where he is, I'm able to kind of go out with girlfriends and get a little downtime. And when I come back, I feel refreshed and able to handle a little bit more. When we go through those periods where he's not able to help as much, I'm not going to say that I'm perfect. There are moments where I might really, literally, sometimes I go in my closet and I just like cry. Not because I'm sad, but because I'm frustrated mm-hmm. and I'm tired. And some days are obviously harder than others. There are those days where the 2-year-old doesn't stop crying and the 8-year-old has homework that he doesn't want to do. And you're trying to do both of those at the same time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember that time with Sex and the City when Miranda went into the...
That's Charlotte.
Was it Charlotte? Okay, Charlotte. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Charlotte went into the pantry and just had a breakdown.
You know, I'll say this. I think that mothers put a lot of pressure on themselves because you want to be perfect. And you sometimes forget that you are an imperfect person. Like, for instance, most people think that their parents or their mothers were like this perfect person because you didn't realize most of the mistakes they made, mm-hmm. you know? Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, they were trying to figure it out just like how you are. Mm-hmm. And I think that that is the mistake that a lot of us make by putting so much stress and pressure on ourselves to be this ideal mother that you miss out on the good things that you're actually doing. I don't know if you guys have seen it because it just aired maybe 2 days ago, but Jada Pinkett, her mother, and Willow, her daughter, mm-hmm. have this new show on Facebook, and it's called Red Table Talk, mm-hmm. Red Talk Table, mm-hmm. or something. And the first episode was about motherhood. And one of the things that she says on there is that expectations are sometimes the thieves of joy because you have these expectations. Society puts expectations. They tell you what social norms are, what the husband's role is supposed to be, what your role is supposed to be, how your family's supposed to look, how perfect everything's supposed to be. And with those expectations, you become disappointed when they aren't met and you miss out on all the good things that are happening. Mm-hmm. And I could really relate to her saying that, because that has happened to me in many occasions. Like, for instance, I always felt like my husband was supposed to share the ring of the children 50-50. Like, you have to do it on these days and I have to do it and we're going to figure it out. That's just not life. It's not feasible for my life. And I had to realize, hey, just because they did that on the Cosby Show doesn't mean that that's the way you guys have to handle it.
Mm-hmm. There was a great book that I had read a while ago called... with Arianna Huffington, on becoming fearless in love, work, and life. And she talks about being a mom and then the guilt of going home, going to work, you know, and then going back to work, and how you kind of balance this guilt when you have to leave your child and go back to work. And, you know, she really kind of delves into it, and she just talks about, you know, as women, we kind of take on so many responsibilities. And then even that responsibility, like, I'm abandoning my child. Because I knew a girlfriend, she, it took her a while, you know, to not breastfeed, right? Breastfeeding, it was like, that was kind of her way of still being connected to, still being connected to her child, right? And it was, you know, it was like, to a certain extent, just a control, you know, of being able to know that.
Okay.
You know, and explain that to me, because I said it was really interesting to see the dynamics with that, where it was just like, okay, so when are you going to start breastfeeding?
So let me first start off by saying that obviously everyone is different, right? And everyone bonds with their children differently. It also depends on where you are in life when you have that child. So I've had two totally different experiences with my two births. With Carson, my first son, he was completely unexpected. I was nowhere near ready to have a child. It caught me so off guard. And I don't know that through the 9 months of being pregnant with him, I ever fully grasped the concept that I was about to be a mother. He was a preemie, so he came early, literally went to the doctors, and they were like, we got to take him now. Went into full panic attack, had the baby, and then just looked at him. And I used to be really ashamed of that. I mean, for like years, I felt so guilty about the fact that I did not automatically connect with a baby. I remember when Beyonce had Blue, and she was like, oh my gosh, it was so powerful. And I felt my spirit leave my body and go into hers. And I was thinking, what? No, I didn't feel that. I remember I wouldn't even pick him up. I literally was terrified of this being and terrified of messing him up, right? So keep in mind, he was 4 pounds, tiniest thing ever. I just didn't know what to do. I ended up having to go back to work in 5 weeks because my job at the time was not one that gave me much maternity leave. And the separation was rough, mainly because I felt guilty about not having that connection, A, but B, I thought if I spent more time with him, I would get that connection. So I literally cried and cried and cried when I went back to work. And it took me a while to realize that I had the connection. I just was nervous and afraid, and I was kind of suppressing it. So with him, the separation, it just happened quick because I didn't have a choice. But I did harbor that guilt. With Christian, I had an extended maternity leave. I actually stayed home for 6 months. By that point, I was lucky enough to be able to, because my husband had his own company and I was working for it. So we really, like, it's the minute he came out, I felt that feeling that I didn't understand people describing before. And, but I also planned Christian. I knew he was coming. Like, it was a planned thing. And I was in a different place in life. I had him at 30. So during that 6 months that I was home with him, we literally had bonding moments. I breastfed for the entire 6 months, and we did everything together. We went to the mall together, like. But I can honestly say that now one's 2 and 1's 8, and one does not feel closer to me than the other. So even though it was two totally different experiences, in the end, it ended up completely the same.
And you never had postpartum because you had boys. I know sometimes people experienced postpartum?
I did have postpartum, but not diagnosed. Okay. I just knew that I had it. I remember going to my doctor and saying, you know, I'm really sad. Everything makes me cry. I remember Chris stayed home with me for 2 weeks when I had Carson. With Christian, he stayed home for 1 week, but he was in and out of still running to the office and things of that sort because he was in the middle of, like, a big deal with work. And I remember every time he left me at home, I would cry. Mm. It was the weirdest thing ever. But as soon as I would feel alone with the baby, mm-hmm. I would cry. Mm. And I couldn't come up with a reasoning why. And I remember him looking at me like, what the heck is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I remember going to my doctor and talking to her about it. And they did like a postpartum checklist with me. And it came back that it wasn't anything severe. It was normal separation feelings and your hormones coming back down. But they are symptoms and signs of postpartum. So I'm pretty sure that to a certain extent I had it, but not severe. But Sanjay dropped something. But what I will say is I don't feel like my body ever went back to normal, and I don't mean physically. I mean my emotional state, my mental state is completely different than it was prior to having a child. Like, for instance, I can watch a commercial, and it could be like a sad commercial where the kids are starving in Africa. Mm-hmm. I will boohoo. Mm-hmm. Before having him, I couldn't cry. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to say, joke and tell people my tear ducts are broken because mm-hmm. I just didn't cry. Mm-hmm. Everything makes me cry now. Like, I'm so sensitive, not like emotional stuff, mm-hmm. like as far as being sensitive to people. Mm-hmm. I mean, like certain things, like on TV
movies, whatever.
It triggers
like,
me.
Yeah, I get you.
Or like my attitude. My husband can say something to me and I will snap quick. I did not used to be that way. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the hormonal imbalance mm-hmm. is that happens after having a baby, but I never fully went back to who I was before I had him.
Well, so you have two biological children and then you have
a bonus kid.
A bonus kid.
Yeah.
So how do you bond with the bonus kid, right?
You know, that's a really good question. Mm-hmm. I met her when she was 6 months old. Mm-hmm. And it's easy to bond with a baby. Because I was the woman, she actually gravitated more to me at that age than she did to my husband because he was a man. And she was a baby. And, you know, they had a custody agreement at the time. So she would leave her mother to come with us. And at 6 months, that's a difficult thing. So a six-month-old is going to go to, you know, the other woman. So that started the bond for mm-hmm. us. By the time she was about four, I would say, things were a little difficult because she wasn't sure if it was okay to like me. And I just, you know, would consistently explain to her, you know, I'm here for you. I love you, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. And you just kind of, you love children. And, mm-hmm. and children, all they really can read is love. Mm-hmm. Now she's 9. She'll be 10 soon. And it's kind of easy. Like, she's the only girl in the house. Mm-hmm. And when she's not there, I'm the only woman. There's no other female in the entire house. So when she comes, we kind of try to retreat from the boys. So we do stuff. I'll take her to get her nails done. Or she talks to me about things going on in school. Or, you know, like hairstyles, because she's mm-hmm. at that tween age where she cares about how she physically looks. So it's like a relatable thing. She can relate to me more than she can relate to her brother or to her dad. And mm-hmm. and that's not to say that she does not have an intimate relationship with her dad, because she does, but it's different. She's mm-hmm. not going to talk to him about how she wants her hair, mm-hmm. you know, or mm-hmm. the girl at school that picked on her about whatever it may be, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm better, like Chris, she'll come to Chris and say, so-and-so said this, and he'll be like, oh, I'm going to the school. And she doesn't want that. That's embarrassing. So she tells me, and I can kind of talk her through it, like, well, you know, you should have said this back to her, and this is how you get people this way, and kill them a kind, that type of thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's not easy having a child in your home that's not yours, but you learn. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, people ask me, do you love her the same as you love your own kids? And I'm like, yeah, it's obviously different. I don't think that I can never say that I love her as much as her own mother, because I didn't birth her. Mm-hmm. It's definitely different. But I can't imagine her not being in our house. Like, mm. she's pretty much been all we've known since we've been together. So, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. yeah.
And so, the disciplining of your children and then, you know, your mm-hmm. daughter. Is it the same, or, you know, because no. how does that?
It's not the same. It's obviously very different because there are boundaries and there are limits. I would not spank her. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's my place. Mm-hmm. And I often think if I were her mother and I was in that position, how would I want my son's handle or my child? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't want anyone to hit my kids, you know? So I do not spank her, but do I punish her? Yes. She's actually a really good kid. She doesn't do too much. She does typical 9-year-old things, like, you know, I could tell them go to bed and she'll sneak and use her iPad, but that's simple. I take the iPad, you don't get it back. Mm-hmm. That type of thing. Every now and then she'll get like in those one of those moves where she wants to huff and puff and roll her eyes. Hey, come back and apologize. Mm-hmm. You know, with my own kids, I definitely spank. I take things away. I yell. I don't particularly yell at her as much as I yell at them. And that's something that I've been working on because I don't ever want my kids to feel
different. Yeah, because I'm like, how does that balance?
And when I say my
balance?
Kids, I use it loosely. Yeah. I mean the ones that I birthed. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to feel like, oh, she gets it easier than we do. Mm-hmm. So it's a consistent, like,
balance,
and I have to keep it at the forefront of my mind because naturally I am easier on her than I am on them.
Has your kids ever, your son ever said anything?
No, he has not noticed. And I am waiting for the day for him to notice. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. He's gonna notice one day. He's gonna say, "Well, that's not fair because when I did that, I got popped." You know, but he hasn't yet. And you know, I think that the difference, though, is my son is clearly a different monster than she is. Mm-hmm. He does things that are outrageous, and he knows it. Mm-hmm. And he knows that she doesn't really do too much. So I think in his brain, he always thinks, oh, what she did couldn't be possibly as bad as what mm-hmm. I did.
Mm-hmm. mm-hmm. Well, that's good. I said, you know, with mothers, everyone has all their different family dynamics. Mm-hmm. You know, I know, you know, it was always just me and my sister. So we were always very, very close, very close-knit, never really had any outside situations. Mm-hmm. Even though I do have a half brother that in Canada, but he's like 2 years older than me that I've never, you know what I mean?
So you and your sister have the same mother and father?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, my father had a child 2 years before he met my mom.
Okay. And do you know that sibling?
Well, you know, interesting, we met, it's the craziest story ever in life, but they've always said, you know, you have a brother in Canada. So like when I think after he was born, his mom left and rolled out and went to Canada and moved to Canada. So they've always been like, you know, you have a brother in Canada. And I'm like, you know, you're a kid growing up. You're like, huh? What? Okay. Yeah. You just think it's not real. Mm-hmm. And then probably about, trying to think like how long ago this was, maybe 14 years ago, maybe 15 years ago, my father said he said something about my brother again. I think I said something and I just poked fun at him, like, well, why don't you say something about your son or something? And he was just like, oh yeah, he's on Facebook.
What?
Huh? What are you talking about? Right? And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, he's on Facebook. So I went to Facebook and I was like, what's his name? Mm-hmm. You know? And he told me his name and I friended him on Facebook.
So does he have your last name?
No.
Okay.
Right? So I friended him on Facebook, but I'm thinking that he would recognize my last name and put two and two together. But he didn't. Okay. So then I used to put daily quotes mm-hmm. on my Facebook page, and he inboxed me.
Oh,
like,
my God.
it was the day my great grandmother had passed, and my great grandmother played a big part in raising my sister and I.
Okay.
Right. Well, she raised me till I was like 4 years old. Cause my mom was a young mom too. My mom had me when she was 20 years old.
Oh, wow.
You know what I mean?
Okay.
So, my mom was a pretty young mom, you know, just like right out of high school, met my dad, and then, you know, had me. So he responds to this quote that I put, right? And he was like, I'm glad that you know what I know, blah, 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 blah. So I'm like, oh, he's talking about, you know, us being siblings, right? So I respond, but it was so eerie because it was on the day of my great grandmother's funeral, mm-hmm. right? And I'm like, well, I'm so glad. It was like kind of like to me, like the weight lifted off of my shoulders, right? Mm-hmm. So I was like, oh, I'm so happy that you know that we're brothers and sisters, and did it. I didn't know how to blah, blah, blah. And he's like, what are you talking about?
Oh my goodness.
What are you talking about?
No way.
Yeah. He was like, what are you talking about? Because I guess my quote was very Scientologist-y, I guess. I don't know.
Is he a Scientologist?
So I guess he was still trying to figure out whether he was going to be a Scientologist or he was studying it or whatever it was mm-hmm. at that time. So my quote applied to what he was going through at that time.
Okay.
And he was just like, wow. Like, I can't believe that, you know, he said, I didn't even recognize, you know, the day. I didn't even put two and two together. He's like, you know, my mom doesn't really talk about it, you know, all this stuff. So in the West Indian culture, it is a very macho culture, and it is a very situation where people will have whole other family situations. You know, that's just mm-hmm. how it is. If you go through the Caribbean and Latin America and, you know, and probably also everywhere, like all different countries, you'll find all of these different scenarios that you're just like, what? So anyway, so he was like, his mom didn't really talk about it because his mom and my dad really weren't in a relationship, you know, but she was his friend's sister.
Oh.
Yeah, it's just so really odd and weird. But anyway, saying all that to say, we connected and we, you know, have been saying that we're going to see each other, and but you know, he lives in Canada and he has all this stuff going on, and I don't go to Canada, you know, and so I'm like, you know, we have to finally mm-hmm. make it where we're absolutely, you know, but he looks just like my dad's family, like it's mm-hmm. so crazy.
Okay.
Yeah, and this is weird. It's like my father's weird where he doesn't, it's hard for him to process it, but like my father is so involved in my sister and I's life, you know what I mean? So involved, you know, but it's like this weird.
So was he ever involved in his life? Never
involved in his life. I said she moved to Canada and then she met my mom, and then my mom was his life, you know what I mean, until mm-hmm. they got divorced when I was 16. But anyway, so you know, so I said it's just kind of an odd situation that's never, it's only kind of you know, played a part in my adult life mm-hmm. to a certain extent.
Yeah.
So I know it's interesting when people have blended families mm-hmm. and co-parenting and all the stuff that goes into it. And then being a mother, you know, where you have your children and then you have, you know, I said like when I date guys with kids, it's taking on where I always battle with that.
Yeah.
Whether or not I'm going to have like this ready-made family mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. if I want someone who doesn't have children.
Blended,
you know,
families are really, really difficult. And my first introduction to one was as a child. My dad married, when I was 7, someone else. He then had 2 daughters with her within like a year of being married. And he had a custody agreement with my mother. So I spent summers with my dad and certain holidays. In the beginning, my stepmother and I were pretty close. At 7, before she got married, I guess when she was trying to get the ring, she would do my hair, she would take me shopping. Like, it was the cutest little thing ever. And I remember thinking, I really like her. Mm. I remember telling my dad, I love her, she's great. And I think that to a man, that's like a really good thing. That's, mm-hmm. that's like your blessing mm-hmm. to marry yep. her. Then it was like a light switch went off.
Mm.
And she became...
Get out. You were like Cinderella.
Witch. It literally was like a Cinderella story. It was horrible. I don't even have to go into the details. We can save that for another episode. But she treated me terribly. And a lot of it had to do with the fact that she didn't like my mother. It was more about my mother than it was about me. So because of all of those feelings and all of those things I went through, when I met someone with a child, I tried my best
not to be that person.
And to flip it. But it backfired to a certain extent because I could see myself sometimes trying too hard mm-hmm. and pushing too hard. And sometimes I had to pull back and realize that's not your place. Mm-hmm. You know, like let them handle that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, blended families are very, very difficult because I think in general, it's my belief that it's not the way God intended families to be, but that's what society has become. And now we have to deal with it, and we have to learn how to maneuver through it. And I mean, people do it. People do it every day. And you just have to learn from it. You really do. Because you could either really scar someone and it go left, or you could be a really good mother to them and that child feel lucky enough to have two moms.
Yeah, like I said, it's always been, you know, guys I've dated with kids, they've always been very attached to me. It's to the point where sometimes the guys would be a little bit jealous of how attached that the child was to me, mm-hmm. you know, especially if it didn't work out, how they would, even if they brought another girlfriend around, you know, sometime after, they'd be like, where's Sanjay? Mm. And they'll say it right in front of the new girlfriend, you know. So, you know, and I said, like, I don't know how people, you know, it always bewilders me how people could treat a child badly.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, how can you be mean-spirited to a child?
I still don't understand it. I still don't. To this day, she still treats me like I don't exist, pretty much. She'll, like, and I don't see her often. I saw her for the first time at one of her daughters, my sister, had a baby, and I went to the baby shower, and it was, oh, hey, good to see you, and walked right past.
And so are you close with your sisters? Or that impacted your relationship?
That did not impact our relationship, but we are not close. When we were younger, as kids, we were close. What impacted the relationship was that we grew up in different states.
Okay.
And now we live in the same state, but it's been so many years that we do talk. We communicate. I know my nieces, and we're okay. Mm-hmm. But we're not as close as I like to think that sisters should be. Mm-hmm. And it's not too late to fix that. And my dad is always on my case about, you're the older. I'm not the oldest. There is one older than me, but... Mm-hmm. They always say, you're older, you're the oldest, like, you initiate the relationship. Mm-hmm. And it's not that I don't want to, but sometimes you get so caught up in your own life and your own kids and your own family and your own job and your own drama, mm-hmm. with your own friends, that you don't always put it to the forefront of your mind. But I've told myself that I'm really going to do better with it, because I love my sisters. And it's funny because they look like me. So if you see somebody walking around in this world that looks like you, it's like, actually, one of my sisters worked in a restaurant like 2 years ago. And everybody kept saying, it's this girl that works in this restaurant. She looks just like you. And she looks just like you. Never thought anything of it, right? Yeah. So I go to eat there, right? And I'm sitting there one day with my best friend, and she goes, that's your sister. And my best friend obviously knows my sisters. So I'm like, what do you mean? She doesn't live here. She lives in Florida, because at the time she was in Florida. And she was like, nope, pretty sure that's your little sister. Turn around. I turn around, it's my little sister.
Wow, so she didn't tell you she moved back. She didn't tell you she moved back.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Interesting.
And when she came over, she hugged, and we were really excited to see that. She even cried. Like, oh my gosh, I'm so happy to see you. But had no clue that she was back, like, around the corner from me in Baltimore and working at a restaurant that I go to all the time. And people kept saying, it's this girl. She looks just like you. Had no clue the whole time it was my little sister.
That's hilarious. Yeah, no, I said it's always a test, and my hat's off goes, you know, one day I'll have that situation, I guess.
You will, and I'll be here to coach you through it and tell Lord, you how to prioritize and
be like, okay, sit your butt down. You cannot be flying back to here and going there.
Yeah.
So yeah, all of that good stuff. It will come. But yeah, so you know, great. I said it's our 1 year anniversary. I'm so excited. And it's Mother's Day. It's so great that it falls on such a great day, right? Mother's Day.
Yes,
every year. So we always know. Thank you for joining us, and we will see you. Take us out, P. Chris.
Come on, P. Chris. Give us something good. I'll always love my mama.